Good morning, Desiree. Thank you so much for joining us for coffee this morning. Would you start off by telling us what you do for the Alaska Center for Resource Families?
Absolutely. First, thank you so much for having me. As you said, my name's Desiree Scott. I'm the director here of Alaska Center for Resource Families. We are an Alaska-based nonprofit with offices in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Wasilla. We serve resource families statewide, so resource families being foster parents, adoptive parents, those with guardianship, kinship families, pretty much any family that has a stake in child welfare.
Amazing. I didn't know that's what that was called, a resource family.
That's a term I think that a lot of the times people don't realize until you're kind of in it and you've been slapped on this resource family term. But it's one that encompasses all of those types of different makeups of family.
How long have you been with the Alaska Center for Resource Families?
I've been with ACRF now for about a year and a half as their director. Prior to that, I still worked at another local nonprofit, working primarily with kinship families. So still within kind of within the child welfare, within supporting families who have kids in out-of-home placement.
What is the greatest need for foster families?
Great question. So there's a huge need, a great need for foster families statewide, particularly in some of the smaller communities such as Bethel. There's a huge need for families who are willing and able to foster teens, sibling groups. They really try to keep siblings together, so homes that are willing to take on larger sibling groups, and then also families who are willing to take on children with some more complex medical or behavioral health needs. And again, like I said, that there is a huge need statewide, but specifically in the smaller communities, more rural communities, just so that there's a higher chance of being able to keep children close to their home community.
I mean, it seems obvious, but why is it so important to keep children close to their home communities?
Yeah, I mean, it's not actually, it feels obvious sometimes, but I don't think it's as obvious as it seems. One, to keep children close to their family, close to their biological families. If they aren't able to find placement for sibling groups, we want them to at least be near each other in those same communities, especially when it's communities that are off the road system. And then we, into more keeping them close to families, we want to encourage family contact when it's safe to do so. So being able to maintain contact with their biological parents, aunts, uncles, siblings, anything like that. But then ultimately, as well, it's their community. It's where they're from. It's what they've known. And so we want to be able to keep children, even as far as to say in their same schools, if possible. We want children to be able to maintain those relationships that they've had their whole lives, their teachers, mentors, coaches. We want children to be able to be close, stay close to the people and the places that matter most to them. And removing a child from their home, and then their school, and then their community just kind of further adds to the trauma sometimes. And so ultimately, just keeping them close in their home communities, close to home, just helps reduce that trauma.
That makes sense. I feel like the cultural aspect of it as well, like being able to potentially participate in subsistence, especially if you're out here in
Absolutely.
Bethel, and even just like being able to participate in some of the dances and that cultural tie of staying close to home is
Absolutely, that's a great point.
invaluable. For those who are looking to foster or to become a resource family, what is the support that is available for those families?
There's tons of supports. One, we like to make sure that families know that they're not doing this alone. There's plenty of other families that are fostering that are also out there that also want that support. A lot of the times, the biggest need is some of that emotional support. The support of just one, knowing that you're not alone doing this. But we have ACRF has a lot of supports built into our programming. We offer trainings for foster families. We offer those that emotional support. We have family support specialists in all of our three offices, but then they also serve those families statewide. And that is a huge support. We have families that are able to call our family support specialist, tell when they're having a hard day, when they're seeing some behaviors that they're not necessarily sure how to navigate with their child the children in their care. We have families that call us and we're able to help them navigate the child welfare system. It is a complicated system, especially if you've never done it before. And so our family support specialists work really closely with other community partners, being OCS, other providers that serve youth and families, to help just navigate the systems, provide those resources for them.
Some people might think they're not qualified to be foster parents. What would you say to them? And you can't see me, but I'm putting quotes around what makes someone like qualified to become a foster parent?
One, I hate when people automatically assume that they can't be a foster parent. We hear all the time people thinking there's some misconceptions out there, thinking that they have to own their home, thinking that they have to be married. A number of different misconceptions that there are about being a, like you said, quote unquote, qualified to be a foster parent. When people aren't sure, I would usually just tell them one that if you're not sure, then we're always here to help navigate that and help be able to look at kind of guide you to see if you are quote unquote qualified to be a foster parent. And then I'd also tell them that just one person does make a difference. So that if they're unsure, looking deeper into that to see if they can become a foster parent. Again, like I said, most people assume that they're not eligible for a variety of reasons. And ultimately, what they're looking for is that you're a safe adult, that you are able to provide a stable home, a caring home, and then that we're able to, that you're willing to learn, you're willing to open up your home, you're willing to be there for that child. Of course, there are some stipulations that disqualify somebody from being a foster parent, back to having that being able to provide that safe home. But I would ultimately say if then if they're unsure to call ACRF, call the OCS even. Our orientation that we provide at ACRF goes into the needs of foster care. And then we also have an OCS licensing staff at every one of our live trainings that you can ask some of those questions as well. And kind of goes over some of those quote unquote qualifications to be a foster parent. They're so individualized. What disqualifies somebody from being a foster parent is so individualized that it's hard to just say, nope, there's no way you would be able to become one, or yes, you are, just from the first part. There's when you go into the licensing process, that's really what shows if you're going to be able to be quote unquote qualified or not. But yeah, just looking out and being curious and asking is what I would recommend first or to start with.
And then, if someone is ready, they feel like, they've read up on it, they're really interested in becoming a foster family or a resource family, what are some of the first steps that you would encourage them to take to really get that process going?
Yeah, the first step is just learning more, and you can do so by attending an orientation. We have orientation in a variety of formats. So we have an online orientation on our website. We offer a telephonic orientation as well. And then that you have families call into a toll-free number, and we do an online orientation. And then the one that I recommend the most when able or possible is to attend one of our live Zoom sessions. And that's the one I said that has a ACRF family support specialist and then a licensing specialist through OCS both attend those. And it goes over the what it means to be a foster parent, how the different types of foster parenting, the needs of the children that a family is potentially fostering. And then it all closes out with more information about what the licensing process actually looks like. And our orientation is a great place for families to kind of pause if you're interested, if you're even if you're this is the first time you've ever thought about it and you just want to learn more. I always encourage somebody to go to orientation where you can just ask questions, learn more, and then. Our goal of orientation isn't to sell you. It's really just to give you as much information as we can, and so that you can make sure that it's a good fit for you and your family.
That's amazing and such a great opportunity to just like start. If you want to help or support, but you're not sure if fostering is the right move for you yet, is there other ways that people can help, even if they're not ready to become a foster parent?
Yes, one way that I always encourage people we need more of are respite providers. So respite providers in Alaska do have to be licensed foster parents, but you're not going, it's best for or it's great for somebody who's maybe not fully ready to take on youth full time, but respite providers give foster parents that temporary relief. So if somebody is needing a break to go have a surgery. Sometimes you children aren't allowed sometimes out of the state just due to their family contact. They can maybe sometimes be placed with a respite provider. Ultimately, it is providing that temporary care for youth in foster care and that temporary break for that primary foster parent. And I think that that's a wonderful place to start for families who maybe aren't quite sure if they're wanting to commit full time or have the capacity or if it's the best fit for their family for that full time care. I always say that respite is a great place to start to learn more.
Can you share how a foster parent can make a lasting difference in a child's life? It's such an important role that these people have chosen to take on. How does that make a difference in the child's life?
For starters, I think that a lasting difference is that they can start with is giving youth and kids the chance to know what safety feels like, what's like stability and safety often feels like. Sometimes they've never felt that stability. They've never felt the safety, both sometimes physical and emotional. Foster parents give children the opportunity to learn healthy attachment, what healthy relationships look like between themselves, other adults, if the foster parents have other children in the home, it can sometimes teach youth what healthy relationships with siblings look like. But ultimately, I think foster parents play such a huge role in just those everyday moments. Just being able to be there for the kids, being able to help create positive memories, teaching them skills, the everyday skills, everyday routines. My favorite thing that I love to see is obviously the goal of foster care is temporary care for youth, and the goal is when safe and able is to return is reunification and returning to their biological family when safe and able to do so. But foster parents, it's sometimes really hard. You can't just forget about the time that they're in foster care, forget about these relationships they built. So I would say the biggest lasting difference that foster parents can make in a child's life is being that long-lasting relationship and maintaining that connection, even when if they go back to their biological parents, if they get adopted, if they go to a kinship placement. I've heard a lot of families say that the kids still maintain connection with the foster parents. Sometimes the foster parents become these informal respite providers for the biological parents or take on roles like an aunt, an uncle, or it's just that long-term relationship and connection, I think, is the biggest difference that you can make in a child's life.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a an amazing, way to protect and take care of a child, and also to like have that, another safe adult as a child. It's not something that I think about often, and so to have this conversation with you and to learn more, it really just reminds me how important it is to have these people, and hopefully there's some people listening who are interested in this and can get in contact
Absolutely.
with you guys over at ACRF. And finally, what's one message you hope our listeners take away from this conversation today?
I started out this conversation kind of thinking over these this that kind of that question, what I want listeners to get out of it. But your last statement made me change my thoughts on it a little bit. And I think that I would love for listeners to get out of, like, there's no child can have too many safe adults. There's no such thing as too many safe and loving adults for a child. And so I think that that's really the message here. We want children to be able to feel like they belong, feel like they're safe and comfortable feeling like they belong in a house, in a community. But then also bringing it back, just there's another message is that foster families are needed in every community throughout the state. So that would be a big one, is that there's this huge need for foster families across the state. And we need safe spaces, safe adults, safe homes for children.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Desiree. Really appreciate the conversation, and hopefully we can get you guys back on to continue the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.